Let us sing of your amazing grace. Thank you, Jesus.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
I've been singing that song ever since I was a kid. And I'm sure that there are people older than me here who have been singing it since they were a kid. But it doesn't matter how old it is. The words are so powerful. I've been saved. A wretch like me has been saved. This grace, this undeserved mercy. We couldn't do anything to deserve this. But God loves us, and He forgives us, and He extends this grace, and all we have to do is accept. Powerful words, encouraging words. God, we thank you for your grace. Thank you, God. Amen. I encourage you to all take a seat. Part of what we believe worship is giving. And we're going to continue with worship by taking up your morning tithes and offerings. So would the ushers please come forward for that? And while they're coming forward, I'm going to invite John Engels up to the stage. John is working with University Christian Ministries in all the campuses in and around the Lower Mainland and all over the province. And he's going to give us examples of what he is up to and what he's doing. Yeah. So let's pray for this offering really quick. God, thank you for that. All that you've blessed us with, all that you've given us. We thank you for it, and we give back part of it to you out of obedience, out of worship, and may it be used to further your kingdom and your glory. Amen.
Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. How are you? Good to be with you. It's been about 18 months, and I get to share with you some quick stories. I just want to say a big thank you again for praying for us and for sharing in our ministry all these years. It's been fun. You know, we get to do this as Christians. As we're singing that song, Amazing Grace, it struck me how we have been given this great opportunity to share what God has given us. We're all following Jesus and learning. And Nancy and I have had this privilege of being sent to the universities in our province. And we have a team of about 20 people. If you can click that next slide. Several of these people actually came to Christ as students. I don't think my laser pointer is. It is on. It is not on. It is on. Which button is it, Wes? It doesn't matter. We have about 20 campus missionaries spread across 8 campuses, and some of these have come to Christ as they were students in our ministry, and then graduated, and God called them back to reach the university students that they were once. And I just have a couple of stories here. One is Kieran, and Kieran was an atheist when he began going to UCM at UBC. And he wanted to learn more about who this Jesus is, who he denied. And it was this community of students that he really began to hang with and got to know. And soon he began to really seek what God was all about. And so one of his friends gave him a Bible during lunch on campus. And then as Kieran was thinking and pondering, one time at a bus stop, he was waiting for about 20 minutes, all alone at a bus stop. Have you been at those bus stops? And you're all alone, and you're wondering what to do. It's at night. And the Holy Spirit arrested his heart. And at that bus stop, he cried out to the Lord and said, God, I believe in you. And it was in a moment that Christ came to his heart. After searching and after seeing Jesus alive and real in others, he was convinced of Jesus. And so he got baptized, went on a missions trip, raised funds after he graduated from university to be on our team. And we're so excited about guys like Kieran who were lost and now have been found and given meaning and purpose in Jesus. Vancouver Island University was started back in 2004. You can see all the students that are there now. We had a couple students that were baptized at our provincial retreat in January, which you were all praying for. We're excited about what God is doing. We've had students in Bible studies on other campuses who find Jesus, and they get baptized right there in the bathtub of the apartment that the Bible study is meeting in. Love those bathtub baptisms. This next slide here is a quote from a student from a restricted access country who went to Alpha. Two students, two ladies, went through Alpha twice. They became Christians, and now they want to go back and start Alpha in their homeland. that's what's happening on the university. We're able to reach, really, the world right in our backyard. Over 160 nations have come to Canada and in BC alone. And we have this wonderful opportunity to reach out to students who are from other countries for 4 short years before they're scattered globally for a lifetime. And so this is such an exciting opportunity for us to be able to share the gospel. And Alpha's great. We partner with churches to do this. And so it's a wonderful opportunity. Another student, I just want to share a testimony about this student found out that being gay doesn't have to be your identity. And this person, when they found Jesus, said, "I am gay, and in September, I surrendered my sexual orientation to God, and now I'm celibate." This is such a difficult thing to do, especially in such a liberal time and place. So thank you for letting people like me have our story shared and made known. I am so lucky and blessed to live in a Christian community where I can be open and have support. So we know there's a struggle, but sometimes what we forget is the transforming power of God in a life is greater than the identities and labels that people are told to wear. This person is a Christ follower and is seeking the kingdom of God first. Wonderful. I want to say thank you, Surrey Pentecostal. You guys have been awesome with us in this journey for a long time. You've prayed for us, for our family, and God is doing wonderful things. Continue to pray. Back in 2004, we were on 16 campuses in Canada. Today, we're approaching 50, and this June we'll be gathering. This June we'll be gathering in Hamilton, Ontario to celebrate that and to strategize and plan together. So thank you so much, Wes, for this opportunity, and God bless you all.
I think it's good for us to pray for John and Nancy. They are doing an incredible work. I'm going to call you up, Nancy. Can you join us? And my wife will join us as well. Let's pray for the work on the university campuses around our country. Folks, the world is coming to our doorsteps. And, you know, I wish I could have taken all of you. We were at a conference, a month ago or so, where you there was a video where you shared about some of the stuff that's going on. That's a tough ministry. And there is some incredible things happening, but it's a tough ministry. And we want to pray God's blessing. We support the university campus ministry. We support John and Nancy. And can I just get you to stand for a second? Can we pray blessing on these guys? Pray blessing on their ministry and stretch out your hand to them if you can. Father, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for John and for Nancy and for their incredible ministry in a very difficult place where our kids are being indoctrinated with humanism and with all sorts of things that are against the things of God. Lord, I pray you would help people like John and other leaders that are trying to bring the message of hope in this environment. Help them to stay strong. God, I pray they would not be swayed as the professors and as certain students would come against them and even attack them in some capacity. Lord, help them to remain strong in their faith and strong in their message. Lord, I pray for the students that have been reached because of these ministries. In Jesus' name, help them, God, to continue to develop in their faith. Help them to understand the wonders of Jesus. And Lord, that you would just pour into them, especially those that are going back to their countries as they take the message back, Father, to those, as we heard, that are going to restricted access nations and bring in Alpha. Oh, God, I pray in Jesus' name for protection, but I pray for harvest. I pray for victories. I pray for salvation. I pray pray, God, for a moving of your Holy Spirit in these different countries, that you would use these students to be ambassadors, to be evangelists in some of those dark places. Lord, let the light of Christ shine brightly through them. And God, I pray blessing on this ministry. And Lord, as we give later on at the end of the service, I pray, God, help us. Help us to be generous as we give to ministries like UCM and others, that we would do it from a heart of love, a heart that desires to serve you and to see people come to the place where they accept you as Lord and Savior. We commit this all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, you guys. Appreciate you. Wow. You know, the universities, how many of you have gone to a university at some point in your life? Yeah, it's a tough place to be at, especially if you're trying to maintain some sort of standard of holiness. It's not an easy place to be at. And I honor you, John, and I honor you, Nancy, for your work there. I also, we need to pray. We really need to pray for their ministry, but we also need to pray for the students that are there. And you know, you said something about the cultures coming there. And I love that. See, they're right here, folks. The cultures of the world are at our doorstep. We don't have to go to some places, certain places in the world. We just have to work with them here, and they'll bring the message back. But I hope that in the process, we are learning about the cultures, and we are developing an understanding. Even learning languages is good. Now, there's a language that I like that I would love to learn. I still got a long ways to go to learn it. It's Swahili. Anybody here speak Swahili? Well, there's one hand. I see. Oh, yeah. Okay, Sally, she speaks Swahili. I bet you there is one phrase in Swahili that each one of you knows. Actually, I'm going to work with this thing now. I'm going to see if this works. Katie, thank you. Don't go to the next slide yet. There is one word I bet you all know if you ever watched Lion King. What is it? Hakuna Matata. And it means no worries. Exactly. And you know, I was thinking about no worries, and we're going through the book of Philippians, and we're at Philippians chapter 4, so you want to grab your Bible and jump to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to read verses 1 to 7 in a minute. And I was thinking about this word worry. Now, I'm thinking there's probably not too many of you here that never went through worry. Has anybody here never been worried about something? Okay, we have honest people in the house. Hallelujah for that. Worry, you know, the interesting thing about the word worry here in Philippians chapter 4 that we will look at it in just a minute, it means to be pulled in different directions. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like you're going here and you're being pulled over here and you're all over the place? That's what worry means. Actually, the old English root word that we get the word worry from means to strangle. To strangle. Now, I'm sure that you've been there as well, where you've had a lot of things going on in your life and you feel strangled. Well, folks, it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to face those worries in our life because God has given us a way that we can be free from that. So how do we get beyond that? Well, let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 7, and I do have it up there. Why don't you stand one more time? I know you just stood and you just sat down. It's good to do calisthenics even in church. Philippians 4, 1 to 7. Let's read this scripture here. It says this, "Therefore, my brothers, my sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, this is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Herodias and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I also ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And let's read it together. "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Father, thank you again for your incredible word. And thank you that we can live in your word. We can live in the truth of your word. And as we take some time to look into this portion of scripture and unpackage it here together, please, Lord, speak to us. Holy Spirit, do your work and be glorified in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So how do we get beyond worrying? Well, first of all, we got to start with a right relationship. He says here, therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, this is how you should stand from the Lord, dear friends. Isn't it great to have people in your life and have those relationships in your life where people stand with you during those challenging times? Do you have somebody like that? Somebody in your life that can stand with you when you're going through troubled times? A few years ago, we had something happen in the family, and I was leading our worship in our pastor's prayer. We meet every Wednesday at noon with a bunch of pastors from town. And I was leading, and the thoughts of what was going on came to my mind, and I broke. I was standing there playing my guitar, and I couldn't play. I was weeping like a baby. And you know, it was so incredibly awesome to have those pastors surround me and put their hands on me and pray for me. See, they're my support. They're the relationships that I have that help me through some of those very difficult times. We all need those. And Paul, he needed them as well. And he had some very valuable relationships. He says they are his joy. They are his crown. The crown that he receives from the Lord is through those people, the things that he sees in those people. Do you have those relationships? See, here's the thing. We as a church, we promote relationships. That is one of our key premises, our key objectives as a church is to have solid relationships. Why do we do some of the things we do? Why do we take time at the beginning of the service to do the 3-minute greeting time? Well, I hope that it's not just to say hello to someone, but I hope that through it, you meet someone different, someone new, and maybe possibly you develop a friendship there. Hey, you know what? There is a lost art in our world today, folks. I'm reading a book right now called Good Faith, and one of the lost arts is the place of having people over, having that communication, having that time of getting to know each other. That's a lost art. And we gotta have it. You don't make many relationships on Facebook. Let me tell you can get a lot of friends, but honestly, how much do they know about you except what you ate for breakfast and your cat's sickness and the Slurpee my kids ate? You may have seen that on my Facebook this week. But we need to draw closer. We need to have right relationships. That's why we do what we do. Listen, hear Paul's heart here. He says, I rejoice in those that I long for. I love. They are my joy and my crown. And he says there are times when things get into the relationship that cause a strain. You've been there? Where something has happened in a relationship, a friendship. Maybe someone looked at you wrong and you're thinking, what is their problem? Maybe somebody said something wrong. Maybe somebody's just wrong and you know it and your relationship is strained. Paul had that here in this portion. He says in verse 2, he says, I plead with Euodias and I plead with, can somebody pronounce her name? Syntyche? Yeah, there we go. To agree with each other in the Lord. These are two ladies in the church that at one time worked side by side beside Paul. We don't know a lot about them, but we know they worked with Paul and something happened. Maybe the goat soup was too spicy or something like that. I don't know, but they got angry. And he says, listen, you guys got to get along. You gotta get along. And see, here's the thing. Satan loves to get into your relationship and tear them apart. He loves that. See, because then we begin to focus on the wrong stuff and worry begins to creep in. Folks, can I just ask you, if there are relationships in your life that are strained, can I plead with you, make them right? Make them right. It is not worth it to harbor a grudge or to allow something to pull you apart. Paul appeals, he says, to a loyal yoke fellow, he says, a third party. He says, look, please, somebody step in there and talk to these ladies so that they get it right, because if they don't, the ministry is going to suffer. Worries are stilled with right relationship. Secondly, worries are stilled with right reactions. What happens when you face a crisis? When you face a challenge, when you face opposition, how do you respond? Now, if you were sleeping, I got you awake there. That's great. You're welcome on that. See, that's very human. We often respond like that, don't we? And we freak out and we throw the shoe across and kick the cat and all the other stuff, right? And we get angry. It's human. But there is a godly way to react. Verse 4 says this, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. What? Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. My kids, we bought them the Adventure in Odyssey CDs. Anybody here never listened to Adventure in Odyssey? Never listened to Adventure? You poor, poor, deprived people. I will give you some of them because it's well worth listening to. Most of you have heard one. There was one episode where the girl, I can't remember which one it was, but she was told that if she just simply is happy at all times and rejoices at all times, everything will be great. How many know that that's not the case? That things aren't always great, no matter how much of a biggest smile you have on your face. So the episode goes, and everything possible wrong happens, right? You've had those days, okay? And she's like, rejoice in the Lord always. I'm gonna rejoice. And she puts on this face until finally she gets so upset, she blows up at her best friend and it causes some problems. You've never done that, right? You've never blown up at anybody, praise God. I have, I do admit to that. But see, here's the thing, folks. Rejoice in the Lord doesn't mean that everything is going to go great. Actually, it probably means the exact opposite, right? It probably means you're going to face trials and challenges and stuff, and you're going to feel like, right? You're going to feel like that. But what is the way that we should respond? How should we respond instead of freaking out? Well, we need to rejoice. We need to rejoice because, see, here is the thing. There is a God, and there is a God that loves us and cares for us greatly. I love what Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 says. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Rejoice in the fact that there is a God. Also rejoice, remember his character and his promises. It says this, these things are written to you these things are written to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full, Jesus said. Remember his character. Remember his promises. Rejoice. Choose to speak or sing words of praise during those challenging times instead of lamenting. Don't go to the woe is me place. Choose to speak or sing words of praise. There's something that happens when we choose to speak positive things. Rejoice. I love what it says in Psalm chapter 34, verse 3-7. It says this, commit your ways to the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring things to pass. Do not worry. Do not fret or grow angry. It leads only to evil doing. I love that word delight. Delight means praising him for his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Praise him. Take time to rejoice in him. Rejoice. Refuse to give worry or fear or discouragement a place in your life. I love this picture here. This is from Prince Caspian, the Chronicles of Narnia. And I love this picture of Lucy. You remember, who here has not seen Prince Caspian? Oh my goodness. We're going to have a Prince Caspian night here, Chronicles of Narnia night here. There is a place in the movie, right, where Lucy walks out across the bridge and there is the entire army, the enemy army coming against her. You remember that? And she pulls out this little knife. I love it. She pulls out this little knife and they're looking at her and they're looking at the knife and they're thinking, yeah, right. And all of a sudden, Aslan walks beside her. How many of you know that you plus God is a majority? Come on, you plus God is a majority, and we can't allow the things of this world to distract us. But we've got to allow that fear and discouragement to melt away when we look at Jesus. And folks, here's the thing. If we can rejoice in the Lord, those things, those difficulties will pass. Rejoice because the problems will not stay. It says here in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may remain for a night, but what? But joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. You may have some challenges, but hang on. Hang on. Don't let go because God will come through. So folks, we need to rejoice. And here's the thing, when we have that attitude of rejoicing, guess what? People are gonna notice it in you. They're gonna see it in you. It says here, rejoice in the Lord, let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Has anybody ever come to you? And I've asked this a few times here, but if anybody ever come to you and said, why are you so happy? Why in the world are you so happy? What is your problem? What have you been taking? What have you been smoking? And you respond, and I know we've talked about this in our Bible study, our Lift community, about those times where people have asked, even some of our people like Dr. Isaac here, and our response needs to be, because the joy of the Lord is our strength, because Jesus is in me. Folks, listen. If we are willing to have that right response when we are faced with worry, if we're willing to have that right response, you know what, and have that right reaction, God will help us through those challenging times. Choose, make a choice. Make a choice during those times not to be consumed by the worry, but to focus on the Lord. So how do we get beyond worry? Well, the last thing I want to say is we need to have the right resolution. One of my favorite verses is this next verse that we're going to look at in just a second. I used to work for a crisis line, and I mentioned this here before, and many, many times I would have people calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had the graveyard shift. Great shift to have on a crisis line from 10 in the evening till 6 in the morning. Man, do you get calls. Like, they're never boring. Let me just tell you. 3 o'clock in the morning, inevitably, I would have a call from someone freaking out. Okay, it was none of you. And I'd have this call and they're like, I don't know what to do. And they'd be all upset. And I would always go back to this verse. And the verse says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And I'd always go back. You know, here's the thing. If you've got your Bible, I want you to open it up to this verse here, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. If it is not underlined, you need to underline it. You need to circle it. You need to do whatever you possibly can to highlight that verse so that when your mind goes to where it shouldn't be going, when it comes to worrying, then you say, Lord, help me not to be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving to present my requests to God. See, listen, folks, there is a real problem in our community, in our society, a real, real problem. And that problem is that about 2 million Canadians right now are suffering from panic disorders. 2 million. Two-thirds of those people are ladies. Go figure. I don't know why, but there is people that are suffering with with panic disorders. Now, if you put a person afraid of spiders in a room that is filled with spiders, there may be some panic there. Okay, I'm just saying. Can you imagine being approached by one of these things in your face as you wake up in the morning? Not a great thing. If you were to put a person that is claustrophobic in a very tight, confined place, and you would leave them, there'd be some panic there. Okay? Right, dear? Yes. Actually, you know, when I was a kid, I'm the youngest of four. And I have two older brothers, and they every once in a while like to terrorize me. I know none of you've ever done that to your siblings. And what they've done, what they do is, I'd be in my sleeping bag. If I'd be in a sleeping bag, they would take and they would close off the entrance to the sleeping bag so I couldn't get out. Now, I'm not that claustrophobic, but that's not fun. That's not fun. And I was very close to panic attacks. Actually, I got really close to a panic attack just a couple of weeks ago. You know, honestly, I don't know why things like this happen to me all the time, folks. I mean, does God really think I need good sermon illustrations or something? I don't know. But a couple of weeks ago, we went to pick up my daughter from the airport. And so it was late at night. I don't do well at night. I'm not a night person. We get in the car, we drive home, and I look for my cell phone, and it's gone. Anybody ever lose their cell phone? Like, I mean, that's our lifeline for crying out loud. And it's gone. And I'm thinking, this is not good. And I'm starting to vibrate, and I'm starting to get very, very concerned because I really need that thing. We sometimes face those times of attack, a panic, whatever it may be. What do we do during those times? Or what should we do during those times? I found a great website online when it comes to if you're ever in a place of where you're facing continual panic or panic disorder, panic attacks, or all that stuff. And this is a reality, folks, and I don't want to belittle this. A few things you should do. First of all, they say they encourage you to join a support group. See, the reason we have our small groups here, we call them our lift communities. The reason we have them here is that we have that group of people that surround us, that pray for us, and that stand with us during those challenging times. Join one of those times, one of those places. Secondly, have a healthy diet. Eat healthy food. Sometimes when people are going through panic and anxiety, they eat the wrong stuff, and it just adds to the problem. So make sure you eat healthily. excuse me. Thirdly, avoid alcohol, avoid caffeine, coffee, and avoid illegal drugs. I mean, you should avoid that stuff anyways, but let's make sure that doesn't become part of our lifestyle. Next. Stop smoking. I would say don't even smoke. Don't go there. It's not good for you, okay? Next is get exercise. Proper activity is so important to us. Make sure that you're exercising, whatever that may look like for you. Next, practice stress management. Find a course on stress management. Find something that you can get yourself involved in that brings the stress level down. Get a good night's sleep. You know what? It's funny how oftentimes we allow things to get our attention off of sleep, like the television or like these crazy things. You know what they say is that if you got a cell, I just heard this week, by the way, cell phones that you're not even supposed to, my wife was with me when we heard this, cell phones, you're not even supposed to have them next to you on the bed. I'm guilty of that because during the night you may get distracted. Oh, is that a message? Oh, should I check that out? Oh, and we get these things are a curse. Maybe that's why God made me lose mine. I'm not sure. But make sure that you're getting proper sleep, folks, and take time to pray. Take time to pray. See, I'm so glad that when I lost my cell phone that I've got a righteous wife. She says, oh, brother. I'm so glad that I've got, because the first thing she did is, let's pray about this. My mind wasn't going there. I'm a pastor. It should have gone there right away, right? But my mind didn't go there, right? My mind was going, I got to go back to the airport and try to find my phone. But we prayed. See, folks, prayer is essential. when we are going through difficult times. And Paul outlines what that looks like. He says prayer with petition and prayer with thanksgiving. We got to start by praying in the right way to present our requests to the Lord. Not to run into the presence of the Lord with a long list. Okay, God, here it is. This is what I want. Bam, 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 bam. And we read it out to him and we expect immediate answers. It's like the kid sitting on Santa Claus's lap. He goes there because he knows mom and dad won't get him the present, but of course Santa's gonna do it. And we figure somehow we've never gotten beyond the Santa Claus thing. And we think God's gotta give it to us, all that we ask for. Folks, we come into the presence of the Lord to pray, first of all, to connect with God. You know, I think it's so important that when we come into the presence of the Lord, we start with worship. We start with praise. What we do here with singing isn't to kill time, okay? Because we've got an hour and a half to kill, we might as well kill a half an hour just singing. We do this so that we get our minds in the right frame where we are beginning to focus not on the junk that happened this week, but on Jesus. We worship him and we begin to lose ourselves in his presence. That's got to happen not just on a Sunday, but when you're alone with God in your personal time with him, take time to thank him, to praise him, to worship him. Start with that. And then when you're in that right atmosphere, then we can go to the next stage and we can petition God and we can ask him for the things that we need. It's interesting how many times I've talked to people who said to me, I don't know how to pray. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but there are people, even in the church, that have said to me, I don't know how to pray. And I usually say to them, do you know how to talk? And most of them say, yeah. I said, do you know how to communicate to me? Yeah. Well, it's not so difficult communicating to God. Actually, you can do it the same way. You know what I like to do? And I know I'm a little different, but you can learn a few things from me. I like to take a chair every once in a while. And I like to sit on a chair. And I like to put another chair in front of me. See, that one's higher because I'm lower. That's higher. And the reason is I can imagine Jesus sitting there. I dare you to try this one time. Okay, don't do it with a bunch of people around and talk to a chair. They're gonna think, woohoo, right? That's why you got your private prayer place, okay? But imagine Jesus sitting before you. If it was someone else, how would you communicate? Jesus, you know, I was at this conference and they were talking about the fact that 59% of young adults are leaving the church. 59%. Jesus, you said when you were on this planet that if one sheep goes missing, you will leave the 99 to find that one sheep. We've got 59 of them, 59% of them that are leaving. What do we do? Tell me, how do we deal with this issue? And then shut up and listen. Honestly. Because sometimes we puke out all these words and we don't listen to what God has to say. Because I believe God does speak to us. And I believe sometimes we're not hearing because we're not listening. So present your request to God and then listen. Hey, listen, why not even write them down? Write down those requests. What's really good about that is if you write down those requests, then you can look back later on and say, I prayed for so-and-so here. And guess what? God answered that prayer. And you can write beside it, God answered this prayer on such and such a date. It's amazing when you go back and you look at your answered prayer because God answers prayer. Do you believe that? Amen. He does. So present your request to God and then end with thanksgiving is what he says there. With thanksgiving. With thanks. You know, I get really irritated when I do something for someone and they don't say thank you. You know what I'm talking about? You do something or give something to someone and they take it from you like they're entitled to it and they walk away and you're sitting there going, ah! Seriously? Or let somebody in traffic. Come on, this one ticks me off. Okay, I'll be honest. You let, you know, there's no room, somebody's signaling, so you back way off and you let them in and they don't do one of these, you know, hand waves. Really? My wife has to remind me to do that every once in a while as well. So I'm learning. But Thanksgiving is so important. You know, it's something that God expects as well from us. Do you remember back in Luke when the 10 lepers, when they went, came to Jesus and Jesus healed, and how many came back? One, just one. And what does Jesus say? Wait a minute, weren't there 10 of you? Where's the other nine? We need to have an attitude of gratitude, folks. We need to come back and thank him for what he has done. Folks, worrying, it ceases when we have the right resolution, and then ultimately we will see the right results. Verse 7 says this, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus." I love that. I love that. The peace of God, not the peace of man, not the peace of the world, not even a piece of cake, but the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. See, God's not up in heaven pacing like I do here on a Sunday morning. He's not up there going, "Oh, I don't know what to do about this one. Oh man, that's beyond me." There's nothing beyond him. He lives in perfect peace, and that peace is available to us. So what are we looking for? Where do we look for peace? What are we finding peace in? You know, it's interesting. If you look at our world, we find people find peace in all sorts of crazy things. During the Vietnamese conflict, I love this picture where it shows a guy putting a flower into a gun. You can go to that next slide there, please. They're thinking if... That's the wrong slide. If you... One back... See, this is why this thing should work for me, but it doesn't work for me. Anyway, there's a picture of a guy putting a flower into a gun. Or, you know, the peace sign. You remember the peace sign? And people are looking through some sort of symbol to find peace, or the picture there of them signing the contract, the peace treaty signed on August 31st between the United States and Japan. By the way, did you know that Germany never signed a peace treaty with the United States? So technically, we're still at war with the United States. Just saying. Just a little bit of information. See, the peace of man, it's going to last for, there it is, some of those pictures. The peace of man is only going to last for a short period of time, but the peace of God lasts forever. Verse 7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." I love that idea of guard. Paul is standing there, or sitting there in a prison between a soldier, two soldiers, chained to the soldier. And what the picture is imagine two soldiers, maybe two Navy SEALs, standing beside you and guarding your heart and guarding your mind. The heart is where wrong feelings are often manifested, in the mind where wrong thinking happens. They are, the peace of God is guarding those two areas of your life if you allow Christ in there. I want to end with a little story. A number of years ago, there were two artists, and you may have heard this story. They were always competing. And they were going to draw a picture of the perfect illustration of peace. And so the first artist drew a mountain scene, absolutely gorgeous scene with a lake, crystal lake, smooth, not a ripple on the lake, absolutely serene, peaceful. Beautiful picture of peace. The next artist drew a very different picture. He drew a picture of a waterfall, and there was wind blowing. There was a lot of chaos going on all around. And in front of the waterfall, there was a tree, a old dead tree. And on that tree, there was a nest. And sitting in that nest was a bird. And you know, I think that's the picture of peace. Because you may not always have that serene calmness, but you will have that time of peace in the midst of the storm. Folks, the scripture says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I don't know where you're at this morning. If there is anxiety, if there's concern, if there is worry, if there's things going on in your life, let me just say, God is here. And God cares about your situation. And if you are going through something this morning, we're gonna take up an offering in a little bit for our missions. But I want to end my time here with you by asking you to be bold enough to say, I need help. I need prayer in some area of my life. And if there is, and you don't have to tell me or anybody what that is, but if there's some area in your life that you need God's peace in right now, can I get you to put up your hand? Okay, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing. I'm going to get you to stand up. Stand up. I know this is a lot to ask. Please just stand up. Now, there's people standing up or all around you. If you're sitting, I want you to get around these people because they need your prayer. See, this is what it's all about. It's about us as a family praying for each other. So please, if you have nobody praying for you, okay, put your hand up, okay? Make sure there's people around everybody. I want to make sure everybody's got somebody praying for them. Everybody's got somebody praying for them, okay? All right, let's pray together. Father, I thank you that you care for your people so incredibly much. And Lord, you see the challenges these individuals are going through. Father, you see the opposition, you see the trauma, you see the need, you see, Father, maybe some are going through health issues, whatever it may be. In Jesus' name, we surround them as a family. We stand with them as brothers and sisters who seriously care about where they are at. And Father, I pray that you, by your Holy Spirit, would reach down, that you would touch these individuals, that you would bring about the peace, that you would bring about the strength, that you would bring about the victory, that, Lord, the anxiety that is there, I pray it would melt away in the name of Jesus, and in turn, you would fill them with that incredible, perfect peace that comes from your presence. Oh God, I pray in Jesus' name for your divine intervention. I pray this week that you would come through for them in an incredible way, and Lord, that they would experience your power and your victory. So Lord, I pray that you would now, in with your power and with your presence, just lift them up, encourage them, provide for them, and Lord, let them know it'll be okay. It'll be okay. You will help them through this, and you will help them to be victorious. We pray all this in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. I'm going to call the worship team up at this time. And if you feel comfortable and talking to somebody around you about what the challenge is, please don't do this alone. Worship team, can we come up at this time? I'm going to call the ushers up in closing. We're going to take up our missions offering. Our missions offering, a portion of it goes towards the Ingalls and their ministry. And so part of it goes towards that, and part of it goes towards our other ministries as well. Please give us a grateful or a willing heart. And then after the service, please make your way over to the tables. You want sweets. You need sweets. So God bless the missions offering. I pray you would be glorified as we give from a cheerful heart in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's sing Faithful.